He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge.
Miss, if I did not acknowledge why that flag is at half staff, we lost. I'd also be remiss if I did not acknowledge why that flag is at half staff. We lost an incredible American today, a dear friend of mine. If you knew him, you love him. His name is Charlie Kirk. Taken by an assassin's bullet. Unfathomable. The only assurance I can take is that I know he is with his Lord and Savior right now. He has heard the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as I know many of you will hear. And I didn't quite know what to do after that news with the rest of the day, but I know what felt fitting was to definitely come here and be with all of you, not media, not anything. Just you don't do this for media. You don't do this for recognition. You do this because you love your countries and your communities in quiet ways that a lot of people don't understand. And so being here with you, with people who give so much, who put their lives at risk, and their families know it, is exactly where I should be and where we should all be. So if you would, bow your head with me and join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus, be with Charlie, his family, his kids, his community, and this country. Welcome him into your arms. Comfort them when we don't understand your plan. We know your will be done. We don't always know what that means, but we know it is in your hands. And I ask that you watch over all these men and women here who put their lives on the line. Protect them tonight, tomorrow night, next week, and the months ahead. Lord God, protect them. And we put them under your shield of protection. It is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
And I think the story of Charlie Kirk and the stories after his death say a lot. You heard from Secretary of State Pete Hegseth. That stood out to me so profoundly. My wife played that, and I thought, yes. Yes, that's exactly why we pray. Right there. Right there. Pete Hegseth did the one thing that every leader should do. Not just in a crisis, but every time. But he did the one thing every leader should do. Turn to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Pete Hegseth did. So, what story in the Bible stands out? Not the exact circumstance. There's no one or two people can have the exact same circumstance. Because you're always dealing with individuals. So this particular story in the Bible isn't an exact circumstance of the Charlie Kirk assassination, because it does turn out differently. However, it does show leadership in a couple different ways. And that's the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was a young kid who taken from his homeland, put in front of the kings of where he was taken to, the Medes and the Persians, asked to compromise his beliefs, made a deal, said, no, I'm not going to compromise my beliefs. If my beliefs and the way I eat and the way I do things proves to you my God and what the way I believe, will I be allowed to, you know, continue? And he did. And of course, his beliefs and his God, our God, the one true God, showed that Daniel was a fit person. And he was given responsibility. Well, in this particular story of Daniel and the lion's den, I'm not going to go through the whole passage. I'm just going to kind of commentate and read through of it. But it's in Daniel 6. And again, so you're dealing with a young guy. I don't know, Bible, some people speculate as to how old Daniel was at this point. To me, it doesn't matter. But this is a page in the life of someone who lived many, many thousands of years ago and is exemplified in this story. So, in the reign of King Darius, there is a group of men who work for King Darius who decides that they're jealous of Daniel. They see this foreigner coming in and he's making waves, speaking up for what he believes. They know that, you know, this guy's a mover and a shaker. And they figure, all right, something's got to get this guy. Well, this guy prays all the time. So they convinced King Darius to pass a law that says no one for 30 days will worship anyone but King Darius. No gods, no human beings. You won't give tribute to anybody but King Darius for 30 days. These guys, of course, appealed to King Darius's vanity. And you appeal to someone's vanity all day, every day, you'll more than likely get what you want. Even if that person's suspicious of you, you appeal to their vanity enough, if you're into that kind of thing, you'll get what you want. Those of you out there who see people like that on your department, what do you call them, brown nosers? Yeah, so a group of brown nosers get together and they brown nose the king to get back at this one guy. And he does. He passes the law that no one should worship. Well, the other thing these guys knew that maybe King Darius didn't, maybe he didn't pay attention, Bible doesn't say, but they knew that Daniel would praise all the time. And if I had to guess, they knew that he opened his windows and looked out and prayed, and maybe he prayed loud enough where the whole outside could hear him. Maybe it was just a murmur that carried through the woods. I'm not really sure about that, but these guys knew how to get him. Because one day they just happened to be walking by his window, and Daniel, every day, would pray. And seemingly opened up, or not seemingly, he did open up his window, and he began to pray. And it says in verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber, open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, before his God, as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and pleading before his God. So see, Daniel does this all the time. Daniel heard the law and said, you know what? I'm still going to do it. So these men find Daniel praying. They basically arrest him. And they go to the king. Well, I don't know if they arrest them at this point. O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. See what they do there? But didn't you say, I mean, wasn't that your rule? Their idea, his rule. Oh, okay. The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, verse 13, Daniel, who is the one exile from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. They knew this. He says he did it all the time. So it's, as I suspected, they walked by knowing that he was going to do it. They probably had a couple guys walking by throughout the day. Oh, there he is again. Oh, there he is again. Oh, yep, see, there he is again. All right, let's go knock him out. And you're probably thinking at this point, what does this have to do with Pete Hegseth and Charlie Kirk? Hang tight. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. That was the penalty. That was the penalty. Here's where it gets interesting. Leadership. This shows you how we do our jobs. We don't have to like all the laws that we enforce. We don't have to enjoy arresting people from other countries who are here illegally. No one says you have to enjoy it. It's heartless to simply enjoy it. They're breaking the law, you need to enforce it. But that doesn't mean you don't have humanity for it. And you can be stern and hard and use force that you need to get the job done and still feel bad about it, and that's okay. I think sometimes we're told almost inhumanly that we're just like, we're not robots. I get tired of listening to officer abuse and this, that, and the other thing. Is there some of that? I'm sure there is. And other officers will call it out, and usually a situation is, you know, diffused. We know those guys out there who have shorter fuses than others. I often would step in front of those guys just to keep them on an even keel. Maybe they had a bad day that day. But we still need to do our job. And this is exactly what's going on with King Darius. He has Daniel thrown in the lion's den because he signed the law and he said that's how it is. It's his law. He can't. It does say he tries. Maybe he talks to Daniel. Maybe he said something. But in the end, he goes, well, I have to do it. It's the law of the Medes and Persians. There's nothing I can do about it. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing may be changed concerning Daniel. We've all seen the movies where they put that wax and they put a seal over it. The stone was rolled in front of the grave of Jesus. This is an example, right? The stone was rolled in front of the tomb and it was sealed. This stone is placed over the den after Daniel, and they're probably hearing roaring and just going nuts down there. And the king and his lords take their rings and seal that up. Whatever the fate's going to be. But Daniel, I hope your God protects you. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Guy didn't sleep all night long. Doesn't say he dreaded his decision. Doesn't say maybe he did. Maybe he's debating. I got to go get him out of there. But I know I have to enforce the law. But there's nothing to this. This is a good man. He's a good person. He was brought here to work. I mean, he did his work. He did his job. But he broke the law. I mean, I put him in charge. But he broke the law. And I had to enforce the law. And it's no fun. Leadership. Carry out the orders. And I'm not saying if the orders are illegal. I'm not saying if the orders are something that, you know, you're not going to just use I'm doing my job thing. But if it's lawful, and your heart and your mind is in the right place, and you enforce the law. But you don't have to like it. I've arrested people for things that you're like, what in the world? Why would you arrest this person? Well, yep, they broke the law. And you say, well, let the courts take care of it, because that's also part of the law. And in this particular case, that's what the king did. But he dreaded it. Then watch what it says, verse 19. Then at the break of day, sun's creasing over the horizon. Those of you who work third shift have probably watched many of us sunrise like I have. As soon as that light breaks, right? The king arose and went in haste to the den of lions, probably laying there all night long. How many of you have laid there all night long? All day long after a hot call, and you're just dozing off, and the sun breaks, and you're like, oh man, my day's got to start again, because you were sweating something all night. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. Man, I hope that this is going to go differently. Now remember, think about this scene, okay? We don't know what this den of lions looked like, but we do know a big stone had been rolled over. Were there air holes? Were there something else in there with the lions? I imagine. We don't know. Maybe there was other chambers in there. We don't know. But this king cries out as he's running, as he draws near. He's not even to the thing yet. He's a ways off. The king declared, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, who you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? King Darius knows enough. Daniel probably has talked to him throughout the years about his God. King Darius knows that this man, Daniel, there's something about him. Those of us who are Christians and non-Christians see us, and our leaders see us, should know there's something about us. And Daniel answers him back, O king, live forever. First words out of Daniel's mouth after praying all night long, he does what Jesus did while he was hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The second person Charlie Kirk called up that day, he only took two questions, three questions, but from two people. They say the guy who was asking questions about trans shooters was himself a trans person. Charlie did what Charlie always does, and he decides to engage in conversation. Then he calls the man up there standing next to a trans flag. I wasn't there. I'm just going by the stories that I heard. And starts an engagement, starts a dialogue with him. But Charlie pointed him out and called him up. There seemed to be no hatred in that man's heart for people. Charlie was a man of God. You could take a look at his money, and you could take a look at the things he did and what he did in human terms in 12 short years, but his life was also taken early. You don't think God knew Charlie Kirk's time? Of course he did. And Charlie was given more than most people were given, are given in a lifetime, because God knew he could handle, because he equipped him to handle that which he had given him. God equipped Daniel to be able to handle being thrown into a lion's den. Jesus was well equipped to handle the unbelievable amounts of torture and pain and suffering on the cross. To the point that God also knew that all three of those servants, Daniel, Jesus, and Charlie Kirk, in the heat of what was going on to them, they would show him grace, forgiveness, an understanding of a lost people. They showed leadership. Now, when we as Christians are told to live as Jesus lived, to strive to be like Jesus, the Bible fully knows and says throughout that we of ourselves cannot. That's why Jesus died. But it also says we are changed. And that in the moments that we face that kind of opposition, we will be given an ability. We who wear the badge are given an ability to do our jobs with gracious hearts and hearts that break for the people, yet we can still do the job. When faced with opposition and harm comes to us, we are also given an ability, especially as Christians, to forgive that person who did harm to us. Many movies are made where the hero is going out seeking revenge, killing indiscriminately those who wronged him or their friends or whatever, and it makes for a good movie. But truly, In reality, what we see Daniel do, what we see Jesus do, Jesus especially empowered then both Daniel, the spirit of him, and later Charlie Kirk. Because things were done to them, and Charlie Kirk was killed for it. Jesus was killed because of the totality of everything that happened back in Daniel's day and now and beyond us. But the ability to forgive, carry on conversation, to love your neighbor as yourself is only drawn from that of the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus exemplified that. And in this case, Daniel did. And Charlie Kirk did. That's courageous leadership. But Daniel shows forgiveness. O king, live forever. Why? Because the next line says, verse 22, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And you could say, well, Chaplain Gonzo, this Charlie Kirk is dead. So how could you say this is the same? No. As I said, it's not the exact story, but it's the one that came to my mind. It's the one I knew I should talk about. It's the one that stands out in this particular situation, because I'll offer you this. Charlie walked into a den of lions every time he walked into those campuses and those places where he knew he would face opposition. He walked in there. And don't think for one second that his wife, who is now without him, didn't think that too. Did they go in there planning to die? If you listen to any interview with Charlie Kirk, I heard one about where they asked him about what he wanted to be remembered for. And he says, you mean when I die? Like, he's a young man. You don't think of dying. Those of you out there listening to this program, you're in your 20s and you're in your 30s and you're starting your career, man, you're going to town, right? I started my job when I was 27. You're not going to die. Yeah, here's the facts. It's given every man wants to die and then the judgment. Here's what you don't know when that is. But Charlie did what not a lot of people would do. Charlie might have been a good cop, but the Lord chose him to serve in that way. Big enough dude, right? 6'4", I think he was. Had a smart mind. You got to have a smart mind to be a cop. You've got to be able to think your way out of situations. How many of you out there been in a situation where you better learn how to talk quick? And that's what Charlie did. Put himself into the den of lions all the time. Thousands of people against you, and there's what, 4? Maybe you got 10 security guys. We won't get into a whole security aspect. I'm sure a lot of you out there debated, those you tech guys and those you training guys. I know I did. It's just our nature. It's just the way we're built. But have you looked at it from this human perspective? So as a leader of one organization with three different rings to it, Charlie Kirk, I heard a radio program say, you know, he could have just stayed home, worked out, did a couple radio programs and made millions of dollars. He didn't do that. Good leaders are right in with the people they hired. I think they said he had 1,000 people he hired. There's a lot to learn from those situations. There's a lot to learn from what happened. But learning the lesson of being Christ-like. The courage of Daniel. And now to this point. The king orders him out. He's super excited that this guy, who he knew there's something different about, there's something in the back of the king's mind. Okay, I knew it. I knew it. He's probably thinking to himself, I knew it. I knew this guy is different. And here's the acknowledgement. The king now takes care of the brown nosers. He has them and their families thrown into the lion's den. Was that godly-like? I don't know, but he did it. Then the king Darius wrote to all the people. This is also a little differently than what Pete Hegseth did. Pete Hegseth filmed his speech that he gave to the men and women that were serving. They don't say who they are, the National Guard unit, whatever. They don't know, army unit. They don't say who it is. But he does say, I didn't want to do this in front of the media. King Darius is putting it out there. If there was a media, King Darius would have called a press conference. But instead, King Darius did what they did in those days. He wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages. He probably crafted a letter to every part, sent it to the cities, and had it read out loud. I make a decree, verse 26. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Pete Hegseth did just that. Made a decree to the men standing in front of him. Pete Hegseth made the decree. We appeal to God. And he started with the Lord's Prayer. He saw the flags at half-mast. He pointed out to his men, the reason why those are flying is because my friend Charlie Kirk, you guys heard the speech. And then he starts with the Lord's Prayer. A couple things happened in that prayer. By the way, if you're going to pray, that's the way to pray. Model all your prayers after the Lord's Prayer. God is not a genie that you rub a bottle and ask him for wishes. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him first and foremost. Praise him. I don't care how angry you are at him, you praise him. Because he loves you more than anything. And he is just and he is righteous and he deserves the praise. Praise him. Praise him first. Lay out your anger upon him, that's fine, but praise him first. Pete Hegseth in his prayer lays out the Lord's Prayer, and then he goes into his own prayer that he's felt moved to say. And he acknowledges that God's will is in everything. And sometimes we don't understand it. He acknowledges in his own weakness, I don't understand. He's the Secretary of War, bowing to an almighty of God. King Darius is the king of the land, acknowledging, telling people, you too need to recognize this God who delivered this man, Daniel, from the power of the lions. I'm sure the news spread like wildfire, as fast as it could spread in those days. Like I said, it would have probably been on the internet. Every YouTube channel would have had it. They'd have been doing what I'm doing. They would have had their blogs. However that happened, I'm sure it did, because no one survived that. Pete Hegseth knew his friend was killed. And it doesn't make sense. And it should not be that way. How many calls do we go on that should not be that way? Why can't these people just come over here legally? Why can't they just put in their papers? Why can't they? Why do I have to go into homes? Why do I have to do all this stuff? Why can't it just be this way? You're right. We live in a fallen world, but that's not always the answer. Sometimes it's as Pete Hegseth said, we just don't know. But we do have to trust that God knows, and we do have to trust that an infinite God knows better than us. And that's what he did. And he closed his prayer like we should all close our prayer. He closed it in Jesus' name. But we need to strive to be a good people. And the only way to be the best minister of the badge that you can be, the only way, is by becoming a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus.
For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You've been listening to Ministry of the Badge.